ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania with Melanie Tate.
I feel like we're going into a space that sends chills through the spine of many women. And we're joined tonight by GP Dr. Marita Long. The pap smear, What exactly is it?
A pap smear is part of the screening program that's in place for detection of really the changes before you would get a cancer of the cervix. So we're really looking for changes in the cells that might go on to lead to a cancer. And we should all be really happy about the speculum as women, because having a regular pap smear, I think they were introduced in about 1991, has actually halved the incidence of cancer of the cervix. So it's a much more successful screening program than our poor counterpart, the prostate screening program. So we should all be very happy that it's available. So What it is it's sampling some cells of the cervix, which is what separates the vagina from the uterus.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of differences in the cells are you specifically looking for?
Really what we're looking for is any evidence of infection with human papillomavirus. Mm-hmm. So human papillomavirus is like the common cold of the genital tract. Most women who have sex will come in contact with the human papillomavirus, But most of it, just like if we get a cough or cold, we clear it ourselves. Our bodies are very good at fighting that kind of infection. So we're looking for any evidence of persistent infection. So the acute infection for most women will clear in about 10 months. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for any evidence of change to the cells with HPV infection that could go on to progress to a cancer.
So given that most women will have come into contact with HPV that you're saying, why do some women get cervical cancer and some most don't?
Well, there's about probably 50 strains of human papillomavirus, and there's probably 15 that are associated with cancer. Mm-hmm. And so, as I said before, most women will clear most of these infections, but some of the more cancer-prone ones are a little bit harder for women to clear, and it's often in older women. So HPV that will persist beyond the age of 30, for example, in a woman might be more likely to progress to a cancer.
Right.
But for most of these HPV infections, most will resolve. It's a rare occurrence that they will go on to a cancer, But most cancers are positive for HPV. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so is this only for women that have heterosexual sex?
No, this is for all women having sex, or any women, women having sex with women, and also if you're using any sex toys yourself.
Oh, really?
So you can transmit HPV in a variety of ways.
Right. But if you, if somebody has never had sex before?
No. Or never had anything that could be contaminated with HPV in the vagina? Yep. No.
Right. So HPV, now you can get a vaccination against it. Does that mean that eventually for generations of women ahead that this is just no longer even going to be a thing?
Well, it'd be great if that was the case, but the current vaccine prevents us against two of the most likely HPVs to cause cancer and two of the most likely to cause genital warts. But there's still, unfortunately, quite a lot of other strains out there that can be associated with cancer. So while it's going to radically reduce the incidence of cancer, because it is the two most oncogenic varieties, it's not going to eliminate it, unfortunately.
Right. How often do you have to have a pap smear?
At the moment, it's every 2 years. And keep in mind, I want everyone who's listening to take this on board, that's for women without symptoms. So the pap smear is a screening test. Mm-hmm. It's not for someone who might have abnormal symptoms. So symptom-free, it's at this point in time every 2 years.
What are the symptoms?
So symptoms can be all sorts of things. I guess the most common would be abnormal bleeding. Mm-hmm. So bleeding in between periods or bleeding after sex is a warning sign. Painful sex, abnormal discharge, they're probably the most common.
Right. Mm. We're talking about pap smears tonight with Dr. Marita Long, and we want to know everything there is that you would like to ask. We've had a question, and I've had this. No, I understand what you mean, dear listener. I'm not going to name you because you've said that you phrased the question incorrectly, but I get what you mean. Can HPV, this is a question from one of our listeners, be passed hereditary?
No,
hereditary. Right. No, yeah, absolutely no. not. It's a sex. It's an. Is it an STD?
Yeah, it's sexually transmitted. Yeah. Well, it's sexually transmitted. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to the actual pap smear itself. So every 2 years from the age of when?
So currently it's from the age of 18 to 20. It's 2 years after you start having sex, or 18 to 20, whichever is later.
Right. Okay, and so whenever you start having sex?
2 years after.
Years after that. Mm-hmm. And as you grow older, you know, when you're getting into your 40s and 50s and 60s, is it still every 2 years?
Still every 2 years at this point in time. It is going to change towards the end of this year, but at the moment we're every 2 years.
Right. And is it you were saying before that is it a cancer that affects mostly an age range of women?
It's generally associated with older women.
Right.
So, interestingly, peak HPV infection is when you're youngest and when you're after your first sexual encounter. Often that's when your peak infection is. But it's the persistent human papillomavirus infection that will go on to cause a cancer. So it is associated with older women.
Right. My nana had it when she was 40.
Yeah, that's relatively young then,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. If you've got a question, please text it in, 0438 922 936. That's 0438 922 936. You can also call in with your question, 1300 222 936. That's 1300 222 936. Marita, you've brought in what actually the equipment that's used for a pap smear, which, you know, I was thinking when you brought it in, if we knew that this is what – I'm somebody who's quite traumatised by them. Mm-hmm. And like, we make a joke about it, but it's actually pretty horrible. And you know, I think I'm not alone in being somebody who puts them off constantly because I hate them. And this is all pretty innocuous kind of looking equipment that you use. Can you take us through the equipment that you use for a pap smear, please?
Yeah, sure. So, and I think that's part of the problem. I think if we take the time with our patients to explain to them and show them and let them handle the speculum, for example, it's not quite so scary. So when I have a young woman for the first time presenting with a pap smear, I always ask them what they know about the pap smear, and they often don't know much. Then I'll show them the speculum and show them, you know, what it looks like, what it does, and what I'm going to do. So that I will tell them that I'm going to place it at the opening of their vagina, and then we're going to point it down towards their bottom. So that's where we're aiming to try and get the cervix. And that causes pressure and a bit of discomfort. It shouldn't be painful. If it's painful, it's not lubricated enough. Mm-hmm. We're using the wrong speculum. So we shouldn't be causing pain, but it won't be the most comfortable procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I think if women know that to start off with, then they know what to expect. So then we're pointing that speculum down, and then we have to open the speculum up because we have to get the cervix into view. And that's the tricky part of the procedure often, is getting that cervix, just like we talked about vulvas, everyone's cervixes are different.
Uh-huh.
They're positioned in different places. If you've got a full bladder or a full bowel, it's going to affect the location of the cervix. So we have to sort of wiggle it around a bit to find that cervix. Once we've got it and opened up into view, then We've got the target, and then we can go for the pap smear quite easily.
It's interesting.
Then
it's kind of, the speculum's kind of shaped a bit like a gun, isn't it, in terms of the target? We've got some photos that we'll share on our Facebook page and also online. But there's an opening so dear listener, if you're listening in this speculum, if you've not seen one before, it looks a bit like a bird's
duck
jaw. Yeah, duck bill. Yeah. And so the bit at the end of the duck bill is a square. That looks quite. Is that so? That's the bit that you
that's
want to be able
looking
to view
at,
the,
looking at
the cervix.
Yeah.
What does the cervix actually look like when you're staring it down through that?
Well, it looks like. I mean, again, they're all different, but really, what we're looking for is a little donut. So a little structure that's got a little hole in the middle, which is where blood comes out when you've got your period, or where semen will go in through intercourse to get pregnant. So there's a little hole in the centre, and that's where we're wanting to sample those cells from.
Right.
So really important that we get it in view. And sometimes, unfortunately, with the pap smear, it can take a few goes to get that speculum in the right spot.
Yeah. So you've got – let's just keep on with the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple of different sizes of spectrum.
There are different sizes.
Speculum.
And that's, again, something that's really important to note. And, of course, as women, you don't really know what we're doing a lot of the time. So I always make a note of asking women, and I actually learnt this from one of my registrars, have you ever had an unpleasant pap smear before? And then you know what you're dealing with. Because if someone's had an unpleasant pap smear, then you know you've got to take your time. You've got to think, was it uncomfortable? Was it painful? What was it? So it might be just a matter of getting a different speculum, making sure it's lubricated, talking the woman through it, getting them relaxed, because you often go to put the speculum in and the legs just clamp up, and because who really wants one of these going in their vagina? Not many people.
And also, when you think about anything that stresses you out, what's the first thing
that's
tense? You clench up.
So it is a real skill, I think, in getting women to relax for something that's not that pleasant. And I'll have to say, I'm yet to meet a woman who comes in saying, "Yay, it's pap smear day today. I'm so happy to see you."
Dr. Marita Long is with us. Marita is a GP who is just like the queen of women's health. My goodness. Like, wouldn't it be nice if every doctor would just say, "Have you had a problem pap smear before?"
What a great line. Yeah. And I learned that from a registrar, which I just thought was fabulous. And it's made, you know, a lot of women's lives, I'm sure, a lot easier.
I'll bet. So you've got the three different sizes of speculum. Which ones have we got in our hands now?
So you've got the medium.
Right.
And mine is the standard, so the largest of them. And then there's a smaller one yet again, and that's of your plastic disposables.
Right.
So
we'll chuck these out after.
These get chucked. And then you've got different shaped metal speculums that most practices still have that can be for a much smaller vagina or a much deeper cervix. Mm-hmm.
So can you still see what you need to see when you've got a smaller?
Yep.
can still see.
Yeah, it's just sort of related to the woman's anatomy.
Right. Mm. And so a bigger speculum, would that be used for a woman that's had lots of babies or something?
Often, you know, and as women age and have had babies, the walls become very lax of the vagina. So it actually gets harder to almost spread it all apart with the right speculum as well. And if we don't get a good view of the speculum, well, one, we can't really take the sample of cells that we need, but we also can't look at it to see if there's any other abnormalities there that may not be picked up on a pap smear.
Right. So we've got the speculum set up and then we've got this great little paintbrushy looking thing.
Yeah, and then we have little different brushes. So this is called a broom and that's for the younger woman.
Right, and it looks like a broom.
It looks like a little broom. Yeah. And that goes into the hole of the donut and we just swizzle that around, which can be a little bit uncomfortable too, to get the cells that we need. We want to get a good sample of those cells and then we pop the cells into our fluid medium or onto a slide.
Right.
There's a few different ways we can do that.
Why is this one that we've got, the broom we've got in our hands now for the younger woman?
Because the cells are more likely to be external and the external part of the os. When someone becomes postmenopausal, the cells that we're trying to aim often go up further into the os. So we need to use it's got like a little bottle brush in the middle that goes in and gets those cells for us.
So therefore, you know, you were saying before that when you get older, things become a bit more lax in near your cervix. And does that mean that a pap smear is less uncomfortable or more uncomfortable given that you have to poke a bit further as well?
I think the postmenopausal vagina can often be a lot drier. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the vulva also getting a lot drier, so that can often be a lot more uncomfortable. So sometimes for the aging woman, we suggest a course of some topical estrogen beforehand just to soften things up and make it a little bit easier to get the speculum in, plus to get that sample of cells that we need.
Well, that's another question I'd love to ask you about. So for people that are completely uncomfortable with the speculum and, you know, perhaps don't use tampons in their life or don't, you know, have real issues, I remember a friend years ago being given some sort of a pill to, I don't know if it was a painkiller or to chill her out a bit.
Oh, before.
Yeah. Is that a possibility for people that really have problems?
Look, I think it is. I think if we're getting to what my normal practice would be for a woman who I didn't feel like I could really get to relax for a pap smear is I would often refer them on to a gynecologist, and that can be done publicly or privately, with a letter just explaining that this has been very traumatic or difficult. Mm-hmm. So a gynecologist, obviously they're doing that all day, every day. They can get in and out very quickly. And then there is that opportunity to perhaps be able to use something to calm people down a little bit more or even on an extreme case, I guess a little bit of light sedation if it was needed.
Right. Well, that's a caller has just called in to ask, could you use a local anaesthetic to make it a bit easier?
Not really.
Local anaesthetic hurts to to go in anyway.
Yeah,
doesn't
and it's really, I think, the speculum that's going in. So it's a bit hard to, you could right. potentially put a little bit of local anaesthetic externally and have a try with that if needed. But I think you're getting to that point then when it's, it's you're probably looking for a little bit of help for someone and mm-hmm. someone who can perhaps spend a little bit more time than perhaps what's available in general practice. Just always keep in mind family planning clinics too, because again, they're doing it all day, every day, mm. very highly skilled, good at relaxing women. We've often got a nurse who can stand up the end with the patient and talk them through it as mm. well. So there's lots of ways of getting around it. So don't avoid it. Just come and talk to your doctor and talk about those things, saying that, look, I'm really scared or I've had a very difficult experience in the past. You know, what can we do to make this easier?
That's really great. So don't be embarrassed either to ask to go to the gynecologist.
Oh, of course not.
For a pap smear.
No, so you of course can go, not. Well, if it's something, I mean, I think it's a lot of these things are better done in primary care and general practice if you can, but there's mm-hmm. always times when it's just, for whatever reason, not feasible. And sometimes women actually don't like their regular GP doing the pap smear because it is an intimate examination. They like to keep it very different, very separate, and that's yeah. reasonable as well. It's your body, and we, the aim at the end of the day is to get the screening done.